Now on Racing Pulse, RSM's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
What I find most uplifting about all this isn't specifically Cup Week. It is that this symbolises the future.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsm.net.au.
It is time for RSM's racing editor, Matty Stewart. We're going to kick things off looking back on yesterday's Geelong Cup Day. And, Matty, let's have a listen to what was a gutsy performance by Charlie Rose before we hear from Simon Wild.
Dr. Drill trying to go with her as Tralee Rose runs off the track. Two further back to Fibrillate, La Dondevere, and then Hustle of War. Tralee Rose with Dr. Drill giving her a race at the 100. The mare has to lift. Tralee Rose just in front of Dr. Drill. Tralee Rose a neck Dr. Drill. Tralee Rose won the Geelong Cup. Tralee Rose from Dr. Drill and Hustle of War 2 lengths away third.
It was a good staying performance. I thought she was in trouble halfway up the straight. How strong a performance do you rate that? And do you think she'll get a little penalty from Greg Carpenter today for that win?
She might get a little tickle, maybe 0.5 of a kilo or something like that. Mm. Not enough to make any impact one way or the other. She's already going to be, you know, she's obviously already in the field. I reckon it was a stronger win than it looked. You know, those Ma Eustace assassins like Dr. Drill, they put in peak performances that make them hard to beat sometimes. And she was given a lot of fresh air a long way out when the leader drifted off and presented with the lead. And then I thought she was really, really strong on the line. And so did Simon Wild. Here's a grad from him.
It's dawning on us now. You know, we've got a genuine live hope. The horse that, you know, we found in New Zealand, a yearling, you look at them and you think, can this be the one? And you know, she had a first start here at Geelong and then to, you know, come back sort of 12 months later, or a bit over 12 months later and win the Geelong Cup and be, a top five hope, I think, in the Melbourne Cup. If we can get her there in one piece, it's what you dream of.
I reckon she's a massive chance in the Melbourne Cup. I just think she's surging at the right time. She's a magnificent staying type. She's improving, powerful, no weight, thin race, albeit with incentivise up the top there with Twilight Payment and co. But, it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, for all the talk about the decimation of the international numbers, and that's pretty much the case. There's hardly any here, but you look at the market and it's two or three of ours and two or three of theirs right up the top of the market, including last year's winner, Twilight Payment. So it's still going to be a sense of an us versus them Melbourne Cup if the betting market's anything to go by.
Well, you take incentivise out, it's very even. And I think he's in a category of his own at the moment, incentivise, and the X factor is going to be your Spanish Mission and, you know, maybe away he goes, but most people are saying Spanish Mission from the overseas horses. Then I think you've got the tier below where I've got Grand Promenade as the biggest local hope, and then probably Tralee Rose below that because she can stay. I just don't know if she's got that turn of foot. So I think top five is a realistic expectation from the team, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She's certainly going to be a prominent player. Hey, just on the interesting, to try and get to the bottom of these internationals in the Cox Plate, Gold Trip Zaki, State of Rest. We've seen a lot of Zaki. Lee Modishead's one of our more astute friends overseas, and he saw the original version of Zaki, and he's seen a lot of Gold Trip and State of Rest. I had a really good chat to him this morning, this evening their time, to ask about Zaki, and then to try and help us out with Gold Trip and State of Rest. This is what he said about Zaki.
I would still say Zaki of those three, but interestingly, of those three, one of them, or one of the two new imports, is already a better horse now than when Zaki left Britain to go to Australia. Well, he definitely is a new Zaki. That's the first thing. I mean, if we look at the two that are going out now, Gold Trip, he was already a much higher profile horse than Zaki was. So he was not a high profile group performer. He certainly wasn't a Group 1 performer. So watching what he's been doing in Australia has always thrown up that debate of how good Australian weight for age racing is, and the people over here that maybe aren't as enthused with Aussie racing as I am have been very dismissive of what Zaki's been doing.
Interesting that he went on to say that he believes that Zaki has improved here and that Annabelle Neesham's done a great job, but he did sum up the sentiment that Zaki is a very good insight to a lot of Poms into just how how poor our ranks are at this level. So it's interesting that over in Europe, they're not seeing it as a reinvented Zaki. They're seeing it as Zaki beating up on a pretty average crew of Australian horses, which is not very nice of them.
Well, I suppose, I think that's a bit harsh, but you would understand if you're from over there, because that's all you really recognise Zaki as being at the level that you see it with your own eyes. But we've seen so many times that highly rated European horses have come out here and they've run like a cart horse. There's some that improve out of sight and there's others that absolutely deteriorate. So Zaki's a horse that has been improving out of sight. The question for Zaki, and it's an interesting one, I still don't know whether he is... I don't think he's performed to the level that he has the other way of going. That's my one question mark with Zaki, and all will be answered with the right conditions on Saturday, the right jockey on Saturday, whether he can reproduce what he was showing up in Queensland and in Sydney, because we haven't seen that so far. And if he does, I think he wins. If he doesn't, it's anyone's race. What did you make of James Cummings' comments on Animo? I thought it was a great insight about how they want to ride him on Saturday, what his history shows, that you've got to ride him cold and let him relax and build into the race.
Interesting, because, you know, even Castelvecchio, who didn't win, Nelly won from the front. He was a get-back three-year-old. So You Think was a get-back three-year-old. They rode him forward. Seamus Award, similar. The gamble they're taking with Animo is that riding him to his pattern that he's accustomed to against the three-year-olds over shorter trips is going to work in a Cox Plate, whereas history suggests that the three-year-olds like him, more often than not, they have to go forward to take make best use of their weight, and that's their best chance of winning. So, you know, who's to say he's not bluffing, James Cummings, that into letting everyone think that he's...
You're not telling me that trainers aren't 100% honest all the time, are you?
No, I'm just saying that they're still going to have an open-ended view of it when it comes to cantering to the gates and how the track's playing and so on. I still wouldn't be surprised if they came out optimistically and then had two options, because I don't think you can dismiss the go-forward option, because the template for three-year-olds is almost exclusively that that's the way they race in a Cox Plate and that's how they win. So, and it all does come down to the map as well. Speaking of, you know, the horses in the race and the type of horse they are and so on, Lee Mottershead also went on, he's our Racing Post correspondent, to talk about Gold Trip, and this is what he said about Gold Trip.
So in the context of the Cox Plate, he's a better horse than State of Rest. He's also, I'd say, a broadly similar level of ability to Sir Dragonet when he went out there last season. He's a horse who had a really poor wins to one runs ratio, only the one win against his record so far, but he's run a lot of good races in defeat. Most people will point to that fourth in last season's Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, which was an excellent run, but it was a very bad Arc de Triomphe. It was just about one of the poorest arcs I can remember. I think he would be much better suited by a Cox Plate if we get a proper end-to-end gallop. I don't think he's a horse who would be suited by messing around.
He's a one-batter Gold Trip. When I give you my exclusive tips later in the week, Michael, you're going to be floored exclusive by my interpretation of this race. So stand by for that one.
Well, you'll have call sign Mav on top. I think you've already flagged that.
No. And by the way, he wasn't the one that Danny O'Brien dived in after at the beach.
Oh,
you,
no.
You not mayonnaise
like
you'd spreader.
Not wrong like that.
No, not like you'd add a bit of mayo. Hey, that was Lee Mottershead on Gold Trip. He's basically declared him a one batter, albeit at a high level. And this is what he said about State of Rest.
He's run in America, I think, suggested he can be a different sort of horse. I thought there was a turn of foot there. I thought it was more instant acceleration than we've seen from Gold Trip.
So he reckons Gold Trip's got a better CV, but he reckons State of Rest might be nippier around Moonee Valley. So all up, yeah.
I had a chat to Kieran Maher last night. Moonee Valley did a live stream show for the members and those who logged in. And speaking to Kieran Maher, he said he wants the heavens to open. He said he wants it to be like Sir Dragonet last year for Gold Trip in the Cox Plate on Saturday. And I just had a brief chat to Marty Sine, and they're expecting between 5 to 10 mils tomorrow night during the Manicato meeting, which is always a bit of a concern, and only 1 to 2 mils on Saturday. So he said tomorrow night he's going to have the track as a good three. It's going to be a good three to start the meeting, or on the verge of a good three, because he's anticipating that rain will come and then it will be downgraded, and then he's hoping that the track will upgrade again into the next day. He said if the rain doesn't come tomorrow night, he said then they've got to make a decision about how much water they put on before the Cox Plate. It's such a tricky 24 hours for Marty Sinan and his track managers.
No, it is indeed. Just a situation with the VRC sent a press release yesterday regarding the ticketing situation with the way it's going to be split between, you know, the 10,000 who will attend, 500 GAs are included in that, the rest are members and corporates and so on. There wasn't any detail specifically on that about who gets what and how. There is a link on the VRC website to explain the purchasing process for members mainly, and also GAs. That process of being able to buy tickets begins on Tuesday. You will be able to have a group application. You know, it's not like you're going to be stranded on Tuesday and someone else is going on Thursday who you want to hang out with. But those who are curious, just go to the VRC website, and it does go into a fairly strong explanation about when ticketing becomes available, how you go about it, group bookings and so on, costings and all that sort of stuff. So it's best that people who are curious, members out there and GAs who want to go, just go to the VRC website and they will take you through the explanation of all that sort of stuff.
I can give you an overview because I did have a chat to Steve Rossich this morning, and it is best to go on the website and book there. So the Cup tickets, Melbourne Cup Day tickets, will go online on sale next Tuesday. Oaks Day tickets will go online on sale next Wednesday, and for final day next Thursday. So they're staggering the sale of the tickets each individual day, and they're also staggering the different locations of different times throughout the day. So they're going to try and reduce the amount of traffic by staggering it over a number of days and a number of different times and sessions. And they're getting very confident that crowds will be on Derby Day, and those tickets will go on sale on Friday next week, if that's the case, along with all general admission tickets for the 4 days. So it's all going to be purchased online. I know that won't suit some members who were hoping it'd be a ballot, but Steve Rossett said it was just too difficult to process with too little time to do a ballot. So it will be a first in best dress situation online, but they are staggering the days and the sales.
And Derby Day, which they are, as you say, they are confident it'll get over the line, will be members only. There'll be no GAs for Derby Day because of the smaller uptake availability and the time frame that doesn't allow for that sort of structure. So that those who are thinking about Derby Day, you odds are you will be able to go now, but you'll have to be a member and you'll be notified about when you'll be able to apply for those tickets.
Just on that too, I want to how good's the news that Annabelle Neesham now can come down to the Cox Plate. Peter Snowden's going to be coming down as well, and it means that we're going to have more Sydney trainers and jockeys being eligible to come down with a change in protocols. That means now that they just need to get a negative COVID test. Sydney still is making them quarantine for 5 days on return, so until that changes, we may still have some trainers like Waller and James Cummings not wanting to come, but already in Melbourne on their way down here, Annabelle Neesham and Snowden for the Cox Plate on Saturday.
You know, she only responds to Neesh, not Annabelle.
Is that what it says on the restraining order?
it's huge. Oh, and the other thing too is the app, the government app on your phone is how you're going to. Everyone's feverishly trying to run around getting the COVID passport buzz thing working on their phone. So that's how you're going to be able to get into Cup Week. Tabs, pubs open, pub tab, the tab aspect of them a little bit lagging behind, which obviously the Department of Health is, you know, some things are open, some things aren't. And one of the great contradictions is that we'll be able to go to the pub, but we won't be able to place a bet in the pub. That's going to be a short changeover period, and obviously most punters, even when they're in the pub tab, are betting on their phone anyway, so it's going to be a minor inconvenience. But there are going to be a lot of people going to be going, hang on a minute, I can go to the pub, but I can't wander over there and have a bet during Cup Week. That transition will occur over a matter of days, so it's not going to be as disruptive as it would have been 10 or 15 years ago when we bet in a more traditional way, but there is going to be a lag between being able to have a bet in a pub tab or a venue and having a beer in the bar.
Well, I hope they get onto this quickly. I think at the moment, it's still going to be 80% before the tabs open. So we're looking at maybe Derby Day at the earliest possible time for hitting that 80% mark. So, gee, it would be good if they could organise something to try and at least get pub tabs up and running before then as well. What else is making news, Matty? Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it for me. I'm just trying to work out my long shot Cox Plate first four, and I'll let you know when I've put when the ink dries.
Well, you've got all day tomorrow to work that out, and then you can reveal it on Saturday morning for all of the RSN listeners.
Like on the block, it'll be called the Big Reveal.
The Big Reveal. Good on you, Matty. We'll read all about it today, rsn.net.au.
Thanks, Michael.